Welcome to Component 4, which, as you know, is entitled Introduction to Information and Computer Science. This unit is made up of 5 parts. Each part, or segment, is approximately 20 minutes in length. This is specifically Unit 7, Part 2, which has the title Networks and Networking. In this unit, we cover a number of objectives, all of which are listed on the slide. We discussed unit objectives 1 and 2 in Part 1. In Part 2, we focus on concepts related to the third objective listed. However, I will read all of the objectives shown here on the slide. And so, our objectives include gaining the ability to understand the history of networks and their evolution, list and describe the various types of network communications. Again, we covered this in Part 1. In Part 2, we want to gain the ability to list and describe the various forms of network addressing, including DNS. In subsequent units, we'll focus on listing and defining the different types of networks, describe different network topologies, list and describe different network standards and protocols, describe wireless communication, list and describe network hardware, and lastly, explain networking logical model concepts. And therefore, just to reiterate, all internet communication utilizes IP addressing. In fact, the internet expects each communicating device, which is known as a host, to possess an IP address. An example of a communicating device is your computer. Your computer sends information to the internet when you click to send an email. And then on the other hand, your computer receives information from the internet when you receive an email into your email client. 2 versions of IP exist in today's networks. IP version 4 has been around for nearly 50 years and is being replaced by IP version 6. Let's briefly consider IP version 4, which is known as IPv4. And we'll consider this from the standpoint of your own computer. And so if your computer is communicating on the internet, then your computer possesses an IP address and a subnet mask. An IP address, for example, might be 192.168.10.1. An IP address has to have a subnet mask, and the subnet mask is used to determine in which network your computer resides. And how that happens is beyond our discussion. In fact, this whole discussion of IP version 4 and IP version 6, which is on upcoming slides, might take a number of weeks to cover in their entirety. And so in this case, if we have the given IP address as shown on the slide, with the subnet mask shown of 255.255.255.0, this tells us that this host is located in the 192.168.10.something network. In other words, there could be a number of devices in this network, and they're all able to communicate with each other because they're all within the same IP address range. If a host had an address of 192.168.10.2, or 10.5, or 10.254, then all of those devices would be able to see each other. In fact, valid addresses, given this setup that we have here, would be 10.1 through and including 10.254. Well, IP version 4 addresses are just about all used up. There are very few left as of September 2010. So ISPs and governments are now in the midst of migrating to a new version of IP, and this is IP version 6. Private networks, though, will probably stick with IP version 4 long into the future because it's so easy to use and there are plenty of addresses available. And the new version of IP is version 6, and it's known as IPv6. Notice that we capitalize the IP and the V is at lowercase. IPv6 uses hexadecimal characters instead of decimal numbers, as you saw in IP version 4. And so valid characters are 0 through 9 and A through F. This allows us to represent numbers from 10 to 15. And so the number 10 in decimal is represented by the character A in hexadecimal, and so on, A, B, C, D, E, and then F, with F representing 15. And so an IP version 6 address consists of an IP version 6 address and what's known as a prefix number. Basically, we could say that a prefix number is the same thing as a subnet mask. And so if you look at an IP address as shown here on the screen, and I'm not going to read this because it might take forever, we could learn, if we understood IP version 6 addressing, that the device that possesses this IP version 6 address has a local or a private IP address. And the prefix, which is a slash 23, tells us that the first 23 bits of this address apply to the network, or to the host, and then the rest of the bits apply to the network. But that type of a discussion is beyond the scope of this unit. Some other thoughts for IP version 6 include the fact that IP version 6 offers enough addressing to give every person on the planet thousands of IP addresses into the foreseeable future, even when the Earth goes up to 10 billion people. IP addressing, in particular IP version 6, represents a very complex topic. In fact, network administrators who are well-versed in IP addressing earn their pay very well. Managers of switches, servers, and routers must be proficient in calculating and providing addresses to devices, whether they're IP version 4 and or IP version 6. Others need to understand that IP addressing is required and that hosts in different IP addressed networks will not be able to communicate with each other without special rules programmed into routers. And so looking at our example from previous slides, if your IP address is 192.168.10.1 with a subnet mask of 255.255.255.0, you would not be able to communicate with a printer that had an IP address of 10.10.10.1 with the same subnet mask. The router would have to be programmed to allow that type of communication. So let's look at a real example using the numbers that we've discussed in this unit. Given an IP address of 192.168.10.1 and a subnet mask of 255.255.255.0, we can derive that this network can legally have addresses in the range of 192.168.10.1 through and including 192.168.10.254. In other words, if a device were to have an IP address in this range with the subnet mask shown here at the top of the screen, then that device would be able to communicate with any other device in this network. We should add that networking devices like routers and some software use 192.168.10.0 and 192.168.10.255 for routing and communication. Valid numbers for IP addressing range in values for IP version 4 from 0 to 255. And so if an IP address had the number 256 or higher, that would be an invalid IP address. And we should also keep in mind that almost all network communication uses IP addressing. So routers are able to route network traffic using IP addressing. In other words, if you want to communicate with a server in another country, then the routers have to find that server using its IP address. Switches, by default, are not routers and don't use an IP address to send information from a source to a destination. Switches use something that's known as the Media Access Control, or MAC address, which is physically stamped on the network interface card. And the switches then forward network traffic to devices in their network only using this MAC address. An IP version 4 address, as you see on the screen, is made up of four groups of numbers. Devices, like routers, see each group of four numbers as binary numbers. For example, the decimal number 192 is represented as 111000 for a total of 8 binary numbers or bits. The IP address tells you the exact address of a host. The subnet mask is used to indicate the network in which the host resides through use of a process called ANDing. ANDing has to do with binary mathematics and is, probably fortunately for you at this point, beyond the scope of this unit. To ensure that we understand how your local area network forwards traffic, we have to be aware of the fact that the LAN uses more than IP addressing. In fact, in a local area network, for example, your home network, you would have a number of devices that would want to communicate with each other. And these devices would be interconnected, most likely, using cabling and a switch. Or they might be interconnected using wireless technologies, in which case you would have a wireless access point plugged into the switch. And so LAN communication uses IP addressing and MAC addressing. The MAC, which is the Media Access Control Address, mentioned previously, is stamped, usually on a sticker, on each NIC installed inside of a device. The MAC address is used by switches for intranet communications, and the MAC address has no meaning outside of that local network. In other words, the MAC address on your computer has no meaning outside of the network that you're currently operating from. So MAC addressing is used in all LAN communication. Your switch does, however, keep track of IP addressing. If the destination address is an IP address, which is unknown to the switch, then the switch will send that communication to the router, and the router has to figure out where that destination device is located. It's a good idea to visualize the MAC address on your computer, and so I'd like you to follow along with this example on your computer. And so open a command prompt, and then type the command ipconfig space /, and all, and then press enter. That should open up a command prompt window. Typically that window is a dark screen with white lettering on it. Notice that when we typed in the command ipconfig, I mentioned you should put a space after the command. That /  is a switch, and the word all modifies the command to provide much more information than we would get if we just ran the ipconfig command all by itself. Type it in exactly like that without the quotes, and then press enter. And then look at the output that's shown here, and this is from my computer, and compare it to what's on your screen. You should see an IP version 4 address, and that's the IP version 4 address assigned to this NIC, along with its subnet mask. You should be able to find the physical address, and you'll see the arrow on the screen that shows you where that is in the output here. That's the MAC address that's associated with this specific NIC. Again, the MAC address is used for local communication, and the IP address is used for remote communication. And so how does one obtain an IP address? Well, it starts with the fact that some IP addresses can be purchased or leased, as mentioned previously, and then used by the owner of that IP address or address range for the duration of their ownership period. These types of addresses are referred to as public IP addresses. Most IP addresses are public IP addresses. Other IP addresses can be used by anyone, and these are referred to as private IP addresses. Examples include 10.0.0.0, 172.16.31.0, and the one that I've been using throughout this presentation, 192.168.0.0. And the subnet masks will vary depending on the IP address used. IP addressing from that standpoint, again, is beyond the scope of this unit. And so one thing that we haven't mentioned with private IP addresses is that anybody can use them and anybody can use the same address. And so your computer might have a private IP address of 192.168.10.1 with a subnet mask of 255.255.255.0. Well, my computer can have that exact same address. And again, the reason that you and I can have the same private IP address is because that address has no meaning outside of the network in which we're sitting. And so then your ISP device would provide you with another type of an address, or a public IP address, so that you could access the internet. No discussion of network communication is complete without adding some thought to domain names and their use. Networks and the Internet support the use of domain names. Imagine trying to navigate the Internet using IP addresses and not using names. By domain names, we mean, for example, www.schoolname.edu or some other site with which you're familiar. Since people remember names better than numbers, the Domain Naming System, or DNS, was created. Now, you know that network communication revolves around the use of IP addressing. And so since people work so well with names rather than numbers, the network engineers had to come up with a method that would allow people to use names without harming the underlying functionality of IP addressing. And thus we have DNS. People and organizations can purchase a domain name from ICANN. ICANN is the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers. According to Wikipedia, a domain name is an identification label that defines a realm of administrative autonomy, authority, or control of the Internet based on the Domain Name System, or DNS. And so, if we look here at our example of a domain name, www.whitehouse.gov, this domain name tells us that the White House is responsible, if we infer that information, that the White House is responsible for the administration of this website. And so domain names are made up of three pieces, and we'll try to explain that in a sentence that's shown here on the slide. The domain name www.whitehouse.gov indicates a government site with the purchased domain name of White House, which is found on the World Wide Web. Other things to keep in mind is that anyone can buy any available domain name with any extension if they are willing to pay for it and it's available. And because an entity's URL ends with the .org, .gov, or other extension, this doesn't indicate that the entity is that type. And so without knowing any better, could we say that www.whitehouse.gov is owned by the White House of the United States of America? We would have to investigate to find out whether or not that was true. And lastly, government entities own a number of domain names with the .com extension. As you know, when you access an Internet website, for example, your school's website, you type in the name. You might type in www.schoolname.edu. By typing in the name, you force your router to look up the IP address associated with that name. And that concept and that action introduce us to domain name systems. DNS is another ISP service. ISPs provide what is referred to as a first level of DNS servers. ISP DNS servers connect to global DNS or root servers for help when they can't resolve a name to an IP address. And so if an organization leases a static IP address, then a DNS server will map the name of that organization, the www name, for example, to that specific IP address. Remember that all computers talk through the use of IP addressing. And so typing in a name is really of no value unless that name can be resolved or translated into an IP address. Using an ISP's DNS server makes for a speedier browsing experience, as you imagined. As a side note, most organizations have their own DNS servers that can resolve names to IP addresses for the devices within their own network. It's important to point out that each time you navigate to a website using a browser on your computer must first figure out the website's IP address. And so, if you type in www.whitehouse.gov, your browser has to first resolve that name to an IP address, and then, and only then, is your browser able to display the web page. One IP address for the White House is shown here on the slide. This website is probably associated with many IP addresses. So do you want to try this? If you open a command prompt, which you should have open from a previous exercise that we performed, type in the command ping with a space and then follow it by www.whitehouse.gov and then press enter. The output should show you the IP address associated with this browsing experience. Note that the IP address that opens, if you perform this exercise, will probably be different than the one that's shown here on the slide. If you'd like to pause the presentation and take a moment to do this, now would be a good time to do that. And so your browser has to contact a DNS server to translate the name that shows within your browser's address line to an IP address. All domain names are mapped to an IP address, and then this information is stored on global and privately owned DNS servers. Global DNS servers are known as root servers and work together to map the globe's names to associated IP addresses. And as I mentioned previously, when your browser learns the destination site's IP address from a DNS server, network communication finally begins.